This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Open up an algebra textbook, and what you'll see is formulas and diagrams and plenty of numbers. And there's writing there too, of course, definitions of key terms, and maybe even examples of how certain principles are used in real life. St. Louis educator Kendall Ware has written a math textbook titled Solving for Freedom that includes all those standard elements, but it also features something else, something that's been contested by school boards in the STL region and the subject of book ban efforts at local, state, and national levels. Joining us now to discuss what that thing is and share why he's convinced it's necessary for all students, we welcome math teacher and author Kendall Ware. Kendall, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So, math and black teachers. When you were growing up, did you have any black teachers who were specifically teaching the subject of math to you?
Yes, that's a good question. So actually, in the classroom, no, I never had a black teacher in all of my studies from K through 12 and also going into post-secondary schooling. So, but what I did have that a lot of people aren't fortunate enough to have was two parents in the household that were both educators. Both mm-hmm. my mother and father were educators. Both, I don't want to say they're on the same level, but spanning from middle school, high school, the collegiate level, all of that. So I had all of that information at my fingertips in the house with me.
Mm-hmm. And why is it that you decided to pursue the same profession as your parents? Was it that they were doing for you what you were feeling that you were not getting in school?
Actually, no. So I did not. I thought that it was not my goal in life to be an educator at all. So I actually went to school majoring in biology. I thought I wanted to be a medical examiner. Mm. But after I got to organic chemistry, I realized that science really wasn't for me.
Okay.
And math was always my strong suit. So I wanted to go back to that. So I found some things. I was actually offered a job when I was playing football and baseball down at Lincoln University, HBCU in Jeff City. But I was given the job of actually tutoring all the student athletes in math. And so when they came in and I worked with these students specifically in math, you know, increasing scores and all of that, that's what actually got me to focus on my passion of what was actually helping individuals learn the concept of mathematics.
Mm-hmm. Now, math, and I can say this from personal experience, it can be a very daunting subject for many students. And you have taught it both at the college and high school levels. What has been your approach for making it a bit more appealing or maybe less scary to students?
Yes. So I believe that the things that I learn, it comes easier to me when I learn them, the things that I'm already interested in. So including that element of what does this student like? Because the number one question I always get or receive from students is, when am I going to see this in my everyday life?
Right.
And so this started back when I did some work with St. Louis Public Schools, where I was working with juniors and seniors on increasing their ACT scores. And so the year previous, I was actually hired on to be a test writer for the Princeton Review. And a lot of those questions that I saw, I knew just by dealing with the student population that I dealt with, that these questions were biased. And so I wanted to showcase that it wasn't that the students didn't know how to do the mathematical concepts, but more so they didn't understand the wording of the questions and what it was asking of them.
Do you happen to have a concrete example of what one of those biased questions looked like?
Yeah. So, for instance, one question was, it used the word spam, and it asked students about spam. And so 100% of the students in my classroom thought that they were talking about food, but the question was actually asking about junk emails. So it got the students thinking about something completely different than what they were actually should be focusing on.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I changed and went in and looked at all the test questions that I felt were biased to that student background, I changed the questions to make them more culturally relevant, and it immediately increased the scores in ACT math.
Okay. So this point about cultural relevance, this is something that has come up in many different conversations before. What does that mean in the context of algebra, which is what your first math textbook is about?
Yes. So the reason I chose an Algebra 1 textbook to start off by writing. Now, back in the day, it was told to the older generation that all you really need was algebra to be successful in life and whatever that career was or whatever that you needed to do. You didn't really need to go past algebra. And even when we look in math today, everything boils down to, okay, you go from this step to this step, and then the professor or the teacher instructor will say, okay, from here you just do algebra. So if you don't have that foundation of algebra, you're going to struggle in everyday things. And so I wanted to include things in that textbook that were more so what I was seeing from my students. My students, they didn't like reading certain excerpts that were talking about certain things that they couldn't relate to, so I wanted to make them relatable. So I went and researched all math, and the one that I found to be most helpful for my students was Singapore math. And so that way, and that's how I kind of mimic my textbook. So it's more so giving the concept, the idea of what it is, giving definitions, then giving examples, and then having the student go from there.
Right. So culturally relevant algebra, tell me what is an example of that, sort of starting from one of the more basic basics of an algebraic problem.
Yes. So what I would do, so the way my textbook is broken down, each chapter is broken down into something different so that someone that has different interests can find interest in whatever it is in that textbook. Mm-hmm. And so I have chapters based on, my last chapter is on St. Louis. I have a chapter based on the food and film industry, a chapter based on sports, a chapter based on politics, education, those types of things. And so it comes into play, the cultural relevancy, if I were to give an example. So for instance, if we were talking about sports, in chapter one of my textbook, I'm going back in one of the sections and talking about the real number system. And so I compared that to the baseball that one would see if they were interested in sports and baseball. And so I tied in the Negro Leagues into that. Mm. And I said, okay, if you pull back the layers of a baseball, okay, this can be your whole numbers. This can be your integers. This can be this and that. And so I'm doing that, but at the same time, I'm giving a history of what the Negro League was, how it benefited our people, what it's going to now, what we're seeing today, all of these things. So I'm tying them all in.
And you've made it relatable by presenting portraits of Black history makers, right?
Yes.
So for baseball, who were some of the people that you were thinking of, and then who ultimately made it into your book?
Yeah, so pitchers, Satchel Paige is definitely one of my favorite baseball players of all time. But I actually put in there the founder of the Negro Leagues, who also played and owned a team. So I wanted to have him in there and to talk about his starting of it and how he didn't have this much money. And some individuals were being paid more or less than others just because of what was going on, but they were doing it for the love of the game. Mm-hmm. So just making it so that you're not just seeing the mathematical aspect, but seeing how it applied and how it can apply in your everyday life, how others utilized it, and how you can foresee yourself using it in the future.
Mm-hmm. As you were writing this textbook, who are you thinking about or envisioning?
Yeah, so I was envisioning all school districts, and not just school districts, but organizations, educational entities, things of that nature, nonprofits, anyone who would want to teach or need skills from their employees or professionals in algebra. And this is a fun way to learn it, but you can also get some information out of it that you didn't know. So the incorporation of Black history is important, and not only do I want the school districts and things to get into it, but it should help them collab with their teachers. So there should be no more math department not talking to the socials department, because if you all coincide, then maybe your lessons can tie in with one another. And if the history teacher is teaching something about, like I just said, Negro League baseball, that can tie into the math lesson that same day. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of cross-functionality between disciplines. And that's really what I was trying to do. I'm trying to get educators talking more within the schools.
Mm-hmm. Now, to this point about educators, something that you also have done in all of the work that you have behind you, in 2020, you published a study that had to do with Black math teachers and their effect on students. Kendall, tell us what you found.
Yeah, so what I found was that across all backgrounds, Black male teachers in any discipline bring the best out of their students. And that's for a numerous amount of things. But number one, students from all backgrounds need to be able to see a Black man lead. Because if you are a Black person, then you can see someone that looks like you in a leadership role. And if you are non-Black, then you can see someone that does not look like you lead the people in the right direction in which they should be led. But it also, it broke down the study into two different parts, the pedagogical and the epistemological. And so what that means is that individuals that come in, are you learning the concept or are you learning from the teacher? And there's a difference in that, because if you're learning from the teacher, most people that like their teachers mm-hmm. will pass the class. And that's the number one thing. Black teachers, Black male teachers build the best relationships with all students. So if you can already knock that out the park and have that good relationship with your teacher, it's not that you're going to do better. It's you're trying to make them proud. Mm-hmm. So you're putting that into effect. And when a teacher knows that they have the student's best interests at heart and vice versa, the student will excel in that class.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with St. Louis educator and author Kendall Ware. His book, Solving for Freedom, an Algebra 1 textbook that illuminates Black history through math concepts, combines mathematic principles with portraits of Black history makers. So Kendall, the idea to write this book, was it a single interaction or experience that made you decide, I'm going to do this? Or was it more of an aggregate of things that you saw, that you observed, or that you heard?
Yes. So I'll say within the last 6 years, it's always been on my mind to go ahead and write a mathematics textbook and incorporate Black history into it, just because I'm a big person on Black history facts, and I want to make sure that everyone knows what's actually going on with the people around them, those that are present and are past Black individuals that have done great things. But at the same time, there were a lot of things that led up to this. So going from, you know, job to job, going from one job just because a school district lost a grant, and then leaving another job just because administrative purposes, things were going on that maybe I did or they did that we didn't agree with, and just walking away from that. So I really took some time, and I want to thank my wife, Erica, you know, for talking me down, making sure that I was doing the things I could have done and making sure that I'm using my time wisely while I'm actually trying to find out the next step. So mm-hmm. I finally took that time, put it together, and then I definitely have to be thankful to Mike Wood, someone that I went to school with, who started Dream Builders for Equity, who I currently work for. And so giving me the opportunity to allow me to do this while also shining a light and being that positive influence for the students that I cover on an everyday basis.
Mm-hmm. Kendall, you are a St. Louis native, right?
Yes.
You've grown up here. You've gone to schools here. In fact, your alma mater, high school, is one of the schools that has your textbook.
Yes.
Were you thinking primarily about the St. Louis region, you know, maybe some of the students who also are at Lutheran North Midland High School? Were you thinking specifically about the needs that they were not having met as you wrote this?
Yes, definitely. I'm an advocate for Black history at all levels. So number one, the reason why, and I'll go back to this, the reason why I wanted to do this was because I was never properly taught about Black history in school. I learned a lot about others' history and things of that nature, but when it boiled down to it in Black history, that was an area that I think I was failed, and which I think that a lot of other Blacks are failed at as well. So I wanted to make sure that I was able to get it into schools, but the way that I had to do it, I wanted to embed it into a core subject matter. Because mm-hmm. embedding it into a core subject matter means that math has to be taught in the K-12 setting. But if they can also learn something else while they're learning math, why not do that? Mm-hmm. If I just post to a school district, you know, I just have this Black history lesson, some of them might pick it up, but the ones that need it will not pick it up. So like I said, embedding it into a core subject matter forces not only the students, and I'm not saying that I want to force Black history on anyone, mm-hmm. but I think that everyone should know about the histories of all people, but especially Black history in America where we live. But it puts the pressure on school districts to not only have to teach it, but they have to learn how to teach it. And they have to learn how to teach it to a certain group of students. Mm-hmm. So along with my book, I also do provide professional development to agencies, educational agencies, Fortune 500 companies, things of that nature that may need help in the diversity aspect.
Mm-hmm. And on the note of diversity, this book highlights Black mathematicians because it is an algebra textbook. Yes. But you also see profiles of dozens of athletes, you know, fashion designers, musicians, and authors. Why did you decide to feature such a range of Black Americans?
Yes, because I wanted all individuals to know that it's not just one thing that you see us in and we're excelling in. So meaning that it's not just the music industry. You don't just see us as rappers. You actually see us as the ones that created country music. So you can go forth and say, okay, well, there's no need for me to be a person that's not Black to be mad at Beyonce that had the number one country album when we actually created country music. Mm-hmm. So things like that are important to me, and I think should be known by all people. And like I said, everyone will find something of interest depending on what you like. And I just didn't want to appeal to a certain group of people that I grew up playing golf. I just didn't want to appeal to the golfers.
Okay.
I just didn't want to appeal to the basketball players, the baseball players, things of that nature. So everyone can see. If you're interested in baking or cooking, you can go find something in the textbook. You're interested in politics, you can read about Barack Obama and some of the things that he did. And that's just a large person that everyone knows in Obama. But I go deeper into those individuals that don't get the spotlight as they should. And so that was why I wanted to feature the wide range of individuals.
Mm-hmm. Now, rational equations, permutations is one of the things that's covered.
Yes.
And that is chapter 9. I think that's the one that you mentioned.
Yes.
That's all about St. Louis. Why that theme for St. Louis specifically?
So I wanted to highlight St. Louis specifically because of what the state that we live in and the things that are going on, the things that I see in my everyday life from teaching at and working with students that go to St. Louis public schools, and then those students that might go to a Crossroads, where I also did work and teach middle school and high school students as well. I was able to see the differences and see what it is they needed. So this book not only, as I said, highlights the Black history, but it teaches the math, which is the essence of what I want students to learn anyway, with math being Black history being a bonus. But I had to learn how I could decipher between which students needed to learn what type of history.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing is, growing up and going to St. Louis public schools, not to say that you don't hear Black history being taught, but the Black history that is being taught is 100% different than the students that go to, like I said, a Crossroads, that they see different characters, and I don't want to say characters like movie, but they see different mm-hmm. individuals, different people, and things that they did differently. The projects that I grew up with, my wife is a product of St. Louis public schools. Our experiences are different just because we went to, you know, she went to a public school, I went to a private school, so we learned different Black history, and I want it to be common across the board.
Mm-hmm. Now, a few local schools have started teaching using your textbook, and we mentioned Luther North Middle and High School, University City, and Upward Bound, that program at SIUE, they're all using your textbook. Kendall, what kind of feedback have you heard from educators who are utilizing Solving for Freedom?
Yes. So the biggest thing, what I'll say, so back in February, I did a deal with SIUE, where I was able to sell a large amount of textbooks that were going to benefit the students of the Upward Bound program. And so what I did, instead of me just saying, hey, here are the textbooks, you can use the instructors that you have to figure out how to teach it, I wanted to be a part of it, not only because I wanted to show the instructors how to teach it, because I don't want to slight them and say they didn't know what they were doing, but I love being in the presence of students and seeing them learn. So I wanted to be a part of it. So during the summer, there were 2 days that I actually went out there and worked with the students and utilized my textbook with them. And so the director over there, Mr. Christopher Cooper, was in one of the sessions, and I was just going over some mental math strategies and how it applied to Black history and all of that. And just the reception that I got from him and the students in general. First, the students were telling me, you know, they were excited and it was a different way for them to learn math. So it's good to hear from them, but also good to hear from the people that actually purchased the material. So Mr. Chris Cooper called me on the phone. We text, we spoke afterwards, and he said, you know, this is so different. And I'm glad that it feels like they're learning not just math, but they're learning about their history. Mm-hmm. And so just, you know, Upward Bound plug up there. It's a mixture of students that come from all different backgrounds. And it's not just primarily, I mean, it is primarily African-American, but it's not just African-Americans in the program. So mm-hmm. they go to a variety of schools, public schools, private schools, parochial schools, charter schools, just so that they can come together and learn the same thing. That is a reason why I wanted to make sure it got into that organization.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the last minute, for those who are listening and maybe feeling a little bit skeptical about this, especially amid all the pushback that has come from school boards or teachers who think Black history doesn't belong in math, what would you say to them?
Yes. So first I would say, just as an educator myself, I cannot make a student do anything, but I can motivate a student to do everything. So first we need to start with the teachers and get them a clear understanding as to why Black history is important for their students to learn. It's just as important as American history that you learn, world history that you learn, which is typically sophomore year, which is the number one failed course for students in America right now. Mm. So I want to make sure that all students can learn, and Black history is just as important as every other subject that a student takes in school.
Kendall Ware is a St. Louis educator and author of Solving for Freedom, a math textbook that incorporates Black history and algebra. Kendall, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Today's segment was produced by Aula Kuziz.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.